turn in your Bible to Colossians 3. And at the conclusion, I'm going to have us all look at, in our hymnal back at the back, page 864 in the Westminster Confession of Faith. So you might open your hymnal to page 864 and then put it to the side. Page 864. We'll come back there at the end. I'm going to read 3, 1 through 17, and then going to give an overview. We're going to see, as we turn to this part of the letter of Colossians, that the learning is for living. We're going to see that our doctrine is to inform our duties as we live. We're going to see that theology is for the purpose of practice. Colossians 3. 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ Jesus, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father, as we do see here in Paul's letters, your apostle, that the theology you teach us is to result in lives lived as those united to Christ, please teach us, work in us, O Holy Spirit. We thank you in Christ we're clothed with your righteousness. We pray that we might also live now through this word according to your righteousness. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. As I was thinking about this, sort of the image that goes throughout this text, and I want to go back in future Sundays and take it a little in smaller chunks, there is the image of what we wear, of clothing. And I was thinking about A movie from the past came into my mind that I bet most of you saw. Father of the Bride, you remember that one? And Steve Martin in that movie. And I can kind of feel, you know, the older I get, the more you can relate to these kind of, he had that old tuxedo that he had determined he would wear for his daughter's wedding. And it didn't really fit. And it was blue, if you remember. It was a shade of blue rather than black. And he, as I recall, throughout the movie, he is insistent. And I believe he does wear that tuxedo. Ultimately, that is too small and the wrong color. But he wears it anyway. And he didn't have to. And so, with us, this text is reminding us that we're new people and we have a new wardrobe. I suppose if I was going to sort of do sort of an outline to cover the whole passage, it would be who you are. Now, don't get me wrong now. I don't mean us, the modern version. I mean the in Christ version. Be who you are in Christ. Don't wear the clothes that don't fit anymore, because they don't. Wear the clothes that fit. Be who you are in Christ. Let's put away those clothes that don't fit. It's okay. Let's just put them away. Let's wear the clothes that fit. And then finally, let's go together with our appropriate clothing we have on. Let's go, you might say, with the wedding image in mind, to the feast, the wedding feast that Christ has planned for us. The first four verses, Paul kind of grounds, and these are really good. These are ones I go back to regularly. They're some of my go-to verses in my own life, verses 1-4. He reminds us of two different aspects of the truth of who we are. Verse 1, he kind of does it in reverse, so we'll do it in reverse with him. You've been raised with Christ. You have been, or if then, he's going to say, if then this is the case, then you ought to do this. But the point is, in Christ, you have been raised with him. We also, verse 3 tells us, we've died. You might say we died with him. And we've been raised with him. We have a new identity. We're a new person. This makes all the difference in the world for us. You know, one of the things that we focus on, particularly in our, and rightly so, in our theological tradition, which is why at the end we're going to recite together a portion of our confession, is that we're in Christ. And that little preposition, in, which Paul loves to use, makes all the difference in the world. In Christ. We've died with him and we've been raised with him. He uses this imagery to remind us we've died to all the things that we don't need anyway. And now we can live to the things that matter, that will matter for eternity. And so, this being the case, verse 2, set your minds on things that are above. I'll come to this more later when we return to these verses, but we will do the most earthly good when we are heavenly minded. Don't believe that old saying, he's too heavenly minded for any earthly good. Totally wrong. And if you said it, it's okay. There's probably a context in which you said it. But the truth is, if we're truly heavenly minded, in other words, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. If we are living with knowing that that's coming, then we will do a lot of earthly good in the time that we have here. So he wants us to be who we are in him, to do earthly good. In fact, verse 2, set your minds. In another place, in Romans, he tells us our minds must be renewed through his Spirit. So with these renewed minds, we can think of things that matter. We're to be who we are in Christ. We share all the things he's done, he shares with us. And ultimately, he will share his own glorified existence with us. And we will even receive new glorified bodies. But also, let's take off the things, let's stop wearing the things that don't fit anyway. And that's when we get into these two, there's two different lists in verses 5 to 11. Now, just to refer, to remind us of what we're dealing with here in Colossians, we're dealing with that heresy. This heresy where they're telling them, they're saying, Jesus is great, but you also, along with Jesus, make sure you do this and you don't do that. You eat this and you don't eat that. You partake of this ritual, but not that. But actually, asceticism, things where we kind of hurt our body. We either sort of starve ourselves, maybe physically or else hurt ourselves. He says, you know what? It's really more radical than these do's and don'ts. The Christian life is much more radical than a few do's and don'ts. It is put to death. Or as Christ would say, take up your cross and follow me. The Christian life is dying to all the things that would kill us anyway if we kept them in our life. So put to death, therefore, the things earthly in you. He gives two lists. The first one deals in particular with the thing that our flesh is most tempted towards, sexual immorality, other aspects of that. And then he closes it off with covetousness, just like the Ten Commandments, wanting what we don't have. In other words, the internal drive of the flesh or the sinful nature, put that stuff to death. In fact, this is serious. Verse 6, the wrath of God's coming down on this stuff. We've seen it in the Bible quite literally. You look back in Genesis, the story of Noah, story of Sodom and Gomorrah, individual stories where different families who put God to the test. In the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira. This is serious. But there's good news. He says, verse 7, we used to do these things, but now in Christ, this isn't the prevailing character of our lives anymore. We're new. We used to do that. But now, put them away. Then he moves into our conversation, or our internal. Oh, it's the things in the heart which come out of the mouth. We've talked about this recently. It's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. So just put these things away too. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Oh, just this week I was reading that one of the definitions that slander is not necessarily lying about someone, but saying something about them and using it in a way to... It could even be something true, but you're just speaking in a way that will make them look bad. And of course, obscene talk. We live in an obscene time. We have to guard against it. God is serious about this. We want our speech to be speech that edifies, that builds up. That's part of the old self. Obscene talk is part of the old self. So as a concluding way of that, he says that, you know, don't lie to one another. And it must be that we used to do that, or he wouldn't be telling us not to do it. He's reminding us, hey, don't lie to one another. You know, we don't have anything to be afraid of anymore. We're in Christ. We all know that we're equally sinners before the cross, finding our salvation and our release of guilt. So we can be honest with one another. In fact, let's let our new self, verse 9, be renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. And then he reminds us, we all are going to kind of, going with my the image of the clothes that fit, that we're going to, it's okay, in this case, we're kind of all putting on our uniform. We're going to look to, or in this case, we're putting on our uniform. So there's no longer these dividing walls, Greek and Jew. We talked about that this morning a little bit. And he's mentioning, when he says barbarian and Scythian, he's saying, you know what, the folks that y'all think are totally unclean, the folks that could never make it to church and be a part of the congregation, He's saying they can. In Christ, even the barbarians, when Christ gets a hold of them, they'll become part of the fellowship. Then he says slave and free. The word slave here usually is bondservant, a little bit different way than we think of slavery in our day. But the truth is, in Paul's day, as he's thinking here, the bondservant might be the Sunday school teacher of his master. Or in our day, the person with the more menial job, in terms of the way our society is set up, who's a robust Christian, who really knows the Lord, maybe his boss is in his Sunday school class. You see what I mean? That the gospel gets inside us and it makes us new. And it, before God, we're all equal. We don't bring these divisions into the church. We kind of all have the same uniform on. It's called baptism. That's our jersey. So put away. Let's take off the things that don't fit. Let's put on the things that do fit. We're God's chosen people. We're holy. We're beloved. I'm over in verse 12 now. If God's chosen us, all right? He's chosen us. He didn't have to. People like us. He's chosen us. Only He knows why. We don't. He's made us holy. He set us apart. That means sanctified. We are sanctified. And we're beloved. I mean, what more can we want? He's chosen us. He's made us holy or sanctified us, and He loves us. Therefore, hey, put these clothes on. Wear this suit and this dress fits. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, and meekness. We all know the joy of a person like this, particularly someone who we know doesn't have to show it. You know, there are those different roles that we play in society, at the office, when the person who has the authority yet lives humbly, conducts himself or herself humbly, it draws us in. It makes us want to follow them. Patience. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other when we have complaints. And he says love, as he does elsewhere. Love's the one that holds it all together. Love's the glue that'll hold all this stuff together. Just like faith, hope, and love, so here it is love that holds all these things together. Let's wear these clothes, because these clothes fit. And then two of my favorite phrases that I try to speak in my own home. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And what this is saying, I have to admit, I'm being corrected a little bit in my study. What this is saying is the shalom, the peace, Christ's peace is already prevailing. It's given us peace with God and peace with one another. It's not so much an inward peace as an outward peace that God enforces. Which is why we can come here with, you know, maybe we have a heavy heart when we're outside the door, but as we walk into these doors, into this room, we can leave the heavy heart aside because there's peace here. It's a safe place. That's what I want for my home. For it to be a safe place for each person who lives there. And then the counterpart here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's God's word in our heart, doing its work. Doing its work. So that we, and I said, let's do it together. That was my final point. Let's do it together. So that we together, we can teach one another. We can learn from each other's wisdom. Admonish each other when we need to. Hey, this is the safe place where the wounds of a friend can be trusted. He mentioned singing, something that we do regularly. Wasn't it nice? Danny, did you see John coming when you picked? Did you pick 302? Did you see John coming when you picked it? See? There we are. There's the body of Christ. He picked your song. And I saw you walking. I saw, well, there's John's song. All right. This is God's people. All on the same page. Literally. page 302. There it is, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. So, close with one of those principles we can take with us everywhere. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Look in your hymnal on page 864. Of the communion of the saints. Let's read section 1 together. This describes our communion together. It sort of summarizes what we've just done, and then I'll pray. All saints that are united to Jesus Christ, their head, by His Spirit and by faith, have fellowship with Him in His graces, sufferings, death, resurrection, and glory. And being united to one another in love, they have communion in each other's gifts and graces, and are obliged to the performance of such duties, public and private, as do conduce to their mutual good, both in the inward and the outward man. There it is. I would commend this confession to you. It's not just a dusty old doctrine, but it's a summary of the very truths that we want to both profess and live by. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for the communion of the saints, that as we share in Christ, so we share with one another. Help us live as those who have died with Christ and have been raised with Christ and whose lives are hidden, safely, secure in Him. Help us put aside, put to death these sins of impurity and of wrath, and make us those who, filled with the love of Christ, can both love one another, build one another up, and admonish one another, and receive correction according to Your will. And thank You for Your word that dwells in us richly. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.